And we will move on to the last case of this morning, Cao against Gonzalez.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Peng Chim on behalf of the petitioner. Your Honor, this case, this is a case where the immigration judge made an adverse credibility finding. He must have searched for a valid reason for his finding, but he could not offer any valid reason. That because the BIA disagreed with him regarding his reasons for his finding. But the BIA should have remanded the case to the immigration court for valid reasons for the to make another credibility finding. But
why did they need to do that? If they could just assume that this testimony was credible and then assess whether, in fact, the statutory standards for persecution had been satisfied, why did they need to go back and just get the immigration judge to do that? They say, well, they don't agree with the immigration judge's adverse credibility finding. So in a sense, you won that point already. But it's kind of the underlying story that I think they feel isn't bad enough, if you will, to amount to persecution.
Your Honor, first of all, in the record, we have evidence that this girl received mistreatment by the local officials or by the police. And she was beaten and she was detained. She was released only after her mother posted up some bond. And also, this case, we have to combine the past mistreatment and also future possibility of persecution. Because here we have a serious believer, an active practitioner of the Christian religion. She testified that she would not give up her pursuit for God. And also, she testified that even after she was released, she attended numerous, a couple of Christian gatherings. And the danger is there. The danger was there. And the danger was constant. And the judge said, oh, you were released and you attended a couple of gatherings. There was no incidents from the, interference from the government. That was not a valid reason, because if you pursue the religious practice in that country, the danger is always there. And we have to combine the past incidents, the past mistreatment, and also consider the particular activities of this person.
Could we just separate for a minute, though? Your position is this one detention, which did end when her mother posted bond for her, was enough by itself to constitute past persecution?
Yes, that is our position, and also the law says even a single episode of mistreatment can amount to persecution.
Well, of course, it depends how bad it is. I mean, I guess it's an odd business to be in, but one has to look at what happened to her. She's detained overnight. She's released pretty quickly, right? She signs this statement promising that she won't attend church activities again, which is obviously a problem, but it's not a brutality kind of problem.
She was beaten. She was holding up a copy of the Bible, and the officials tried to seize the Bible from her,
right.
But she would not.
They whack
she
her
would
in
not
the head
let
the
go,
Bible.
And they beat her, and she felt dizzy, and she cried, and then she was taken into custody, and also she had to write a statement promising not to attend religious activities, but in fact she was attending the activities all the time, and that was her intention. And
do you think it would be enough to show persecution if she simply had to renounce Christianity?
That's one aspect of the issue. The issue is that she did receive mistreatment because of her religious
practice. No, but I'm
practice.
Asking, suppose they had just arrested her, they hadn't hit her on the head with the Bible, they took her into the police station and they said, you must sign a statement renouncing Christianity, and she reluctantly did so. Would that be persecution?
Yes, Your Honor. Just under the circumstances of this case, We have to consider all the facts of the case. First of all, she did receive this mistreatment, and also she is an active practitioner of the religion. That's we have to focus on the well-founded fear of future future
persecution. So you're looking more at the future persecution than the past persecution theory?
Right. Yeah, that's...
Well,
she did receive a persecution. It's our position that she did suffer from past persecution, even though she was that was a single episode. But we have to consider the future possibility. She did participate even after her release. She did participate in the further more activities, and also she indicated she will even if she goes back to China, she will continue to practice religion, that the future danger is there. It's a realistic possibility.
Aren't the State Department reports quite relevant, though, to that assessment? The reports don't say that the Chinese round up and throw into prison every Christian. It's more subtle system than that, I suppose.
Yeah, it is relevant, maybe just at the country condition, but in terms of in relation to an individual, it may be different. But in this case, it is different.
Because they've arrested her once, you think they would?
Right.
The immigration judge was compelled to find they would persecute her again if she was returned.
Right. Yeah, I have no further,
okay.
Unless you have
You have a little bit of time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Mr. Curtis.
May it please the court, Ben Curtis, the United States. Substantial evidence supports the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals and the immigration judge, both of which held that even if the petitioner's testimony was credible, she failed to demonstrate that she had suffered past persecution on the basis of her Christian faith or had a well-founded fear of future persecution because of her Christian faith.
Now, is it necessary that somebody beat her up? I mean, I'm a little surprised that that being forced to renounce her religion is not regarded as one of those things that... would entitle her to some sort of relief.
Your Honor, I think
people aren't supposed to have to do that, right?
Your Honor, I understand what you're saying. I think there are two areas I'd like to address in response to that. First of all, I think that obviously each case depends upon the severity of that case, but I think when you look at the fact that, yes, she was asked to execute this promissory note saying that she would not engage in future religious activities, yet despite executing that note, immediately after being released, she continued to engage on a weekly basis in those religious activities for every year until when she left the country.
And what inference would you like us to draw from that? That the Chinese didn't take the note seriously, or that she was just so determined that she, you know, did what she had to do for the moment and was willing to risk being whisked away to some labor camp or something?
Your Honor, you could probably draw both inferences, to be honest. I can't sit here and speculate as to what the petitioner was specifically thinking or what the government was, but what I can say definitively is that she continued to engage in that, and if she really was the subject of persecution in the government, I don't think that would have been allowed to persist for over that year period. Be that as may, Your Honor, sticking to the facts of the case, petitioner's lone run-in with the Chinese government in this particular case is analogous and even less adverse to the experiences of other aliens in other situations where this court specifically found that no persecution had existed. Most notably, in Dandan versus Ashcroft, this court in 2003 determined that persecution was not found where an alien had been detained for 3 days, beaten until his face was swollen, and deprived of food and water.
Yeah, that's the swelling isn't enough, bones have to be broken case. What about future persecution, though? I mean, you know, in terms of physical abuse, hers is quite minor. I mean, she's hit over the head with this Bible, and as far as I can tell, not much else happens. she feels dizzy. What about future persecution? Once she's been forced to commit in writing to a certain sequence of events, she's come to their attention. They're not particularly friendly to religions in general and Christianity in particular.
Your Honor, I think the key, as you know, to prove that there's a well-founded fear of future persecution, you have both a subjective and an objective prong. And I believe that the board appeared to find that the petitioner had satisfied that subjective prong by testifying credibly of her genuine fear of the Chinese officials who interrupted this gathering on April 3rd of 2002. But there's still substantial evidence supporting the board's conclusion that she has no objectively reasonable fear should she return to China. And there are several reasons why. First of all, I'm sure, as you've seen in the record, petitioner's mother and siblings currently remain in China.
But do we know that they are as devout in the Christian religion as she is?
Admittedly, Your Honor, I don't think from what I've seen in the record that they are. There was testimony that they are Christians, but I think the exact word is that they are not as aggressive in the religion as she and her father were.
Right. So, I mean, it doesn't really tell us much that they're living there. They're doing what the Chinese government wants them to do.
That is correct, Your Honor. I think the key thing, at least in my mind, and as was asserted in our brief, is that you have an instance. Petitioner stated that when she left the country, she was able to walk into a government office, apply for and obtain a valid Chinese passport, and then leave the country without issue. And it leaves a question in my mind, and I'm sure in the court's mind, that if she really had a well-founded fear of a government, or does she have a well-founded fear of a government that would allow her to leave that country's confines with such ease?
Well, of course, we've pointed out, yeah.
I mean, you know, if you got a country of 2 billion people, they're probably happy when a lot of people leave. What does that prove?
Well, Your Honor, I guess I would submit today that if she truly were, as she is alleging, was the subject of this governmental scrutiny and this religious persecution, that it would seem a bit odd, if not illogical, that she would be able to walk into an actual governmental office and obtain the documentation that would allow her to leave the country.
But the point I was going to suggest is we've noted in the past that sometimes governments are thrilled to get rid of these pesky religious objectors or the like. They're more than happy for them to leave.
And you are.
So in that case, they would just say, sure, here's the passport. She's not somebody who left from the Chinese end on a phony passport, whatever else she did later.
Your Honor, I understand. I think when you look at this point, then you also look, I think you referred to earlier, the Department of State reports that noted that generally the government is not going to harass small, unregistered family churches who are engaging in unobtrusive activities. And that's what appeared to be the case here, was you had, I believe it was 12 individuals who were engaging in religious activity in a private setting, and they were unobtrusive activities. And typically the Chinese government is not going to step in unless the activity is taking place in a public setting or involves some type of political rhetoric. And neither of those would occur. And she's saying that if she moves back, she will continue to engage in similar activities. And if it is those similar activities, it will be those similar small unobtrusive activities. So according to these reports, she would not have a fear if she were to do that, go back and persist in this conduct.
Okay.
And Your Honor, I'll just surmise, I guess, for the foregoing reasons, I would request that this court affirm the decision of the immigration judge and Board of Immigration Appeals and deny the petition for review.
All right, thank you. Mr. Mali, you have a few more comments?
One point, that's the... in the record, there is evidence that she testified that her brothers and sisters in the church, some of them were detained for a substantial period of time. And also, even at the time of the testimony, the person who preached at the gathering was still in the labor camp. That's the danger. That's the not her family. As Your Honor correctly pointed out, whether her family were persecuted or not is not relevant, because maybe they do not practice the religion. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement. The court will be adjourned until tomorrow morning.